Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we catch up with some fan mail
and play some African music.
Wait, tapes from Africa?
Yes.
That's awesome. All right, Sam is with us again on this recording today.
Hello, Patrick. Hello.
We are blessed.
Not like he has anywhere to go, right?
That's right.
Although, I don't know. You were able to maintain a viable job, career in this pandemic, right, Sam?
Yeah, so far. I think I may have mentioned this before, but a lot of what TV and broadcast have had to do, a lot of reporters and producers are all working out in the field. Some are working at home, and we're lucky that technology has evolved the way it is, that we've been able to actually get our job done while we're out and about, and we're still able to tell stories and share information. So,
very cool.
So far, we've been very fortunate.
Yeah, that's great.
Totally. Yeah. Although it's been hell on the amateur gambling industry, I got to tell you, it's been wrecked.
I can only imagine.
I haven't had a lot of places to lose my money recently, so betting on sports anyway. I don't go near the casino.
Yeah.
I will tell you, now that you're talking about sports, we'll discuss this offline, but I have a plan that I need to send to Adam Silver, because I have a plan for how the NBA
Excellent.
Could come back.
Okay.
I have this worked out.
Let's hammer that out.
Yeah, it's like a three-point plan. And,
okay. Oh, cool.
And I'm ready to present, but we'll handle that offline. That's not what this is about.
Okay. Sounds good.
So we are in the separate quarters. We are recording Rock in the Suburbs. It's a show about music. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
And thanks for joining us, Sam. And on this episode, we are going to address some listener correspondence. We call it fan mail because that seems like a music term that should be used. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get some feedback here on three different episodes. I think all these are episodes from February. So we're going back a little ways. We're trying to get caught up. So bear with us, peoples. So let's start here with a bit of feedback from when we did something on crime songs. Oh, yeah, with Nate Scott. We did a thing on
Nate
songs.
Scott.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I'm glad someone does, because I
well, that was a while back. Yeah.
Talking about Nate, his podcast that he does, a true crime with a sports angle.
Yeah.
Called The Sneak. Check out that podcast, because it's really good. Nate's
Very
a good
cool.
man. So anyway, we did a thing specifically on crime songs, and we got this recommendation from Bill Mulligan.
Great.
Bill said, no, he didn't really say anything. He just gave the suggestion. This is a crime song that we should hear. So you ready for this?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just going to call it up here and we'll give it a listen. There you go. That is Los Straitjackets, and the song is called Crime Scene.
Nice. Definitely had a little bit of a mystery vibe going on with that.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Had that Peter Gunn vibe to it.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Yep.
A little bit of surf rock entwined. Yeah, it was very, very mysterious at the same time, groovy.
Yeah, I like that. I think that was a good shout.
It was obviously supposed to be like an old, you know, TV theme song.
Yeah.
Sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
50s or 60s kind of thing.
Yeah. Totally love that.
Yeah.
It's a good shout. I mean, with a topic like that, you can take it different ways. There were a lot of crime shows that maybe not necessarily were serious crime shows, like Get Smart is one, you know, that pops up to mind. And
I love that show.
I always like watching a movie where the criminals are kind of inept and kind of bumbling, like, you know, the movie Bottle Rocket is one of my favorite movies with the Wilson brothers, where they just can't quite get their crimes right, you know, and they mean well and they planned a lot, but it just never came off the way they wanted it to. So,
yeah. All right. Well, so thank you for that, Bill. I'm going to move on now to feedback we got from another episode in February where we talked about Counting Crows. That was,
oh, yeah.
That was with Noah Crane. Remember that?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right.
And we got a Facebook message here, or a Facebook comment from Hunter Bennett. And he said the first single off the second Counting Crows record was, for all intents and purposes, a hardcore song. It stiffed and was replaced with A Long December. Do you know anything about this, Patrick?
No, I don't.
Well, let's hear the song that he's referencing that apparently got replaced. And of course, you know, we know Hunter is our resident hardcore expert,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
That song is called Angels of the Silences.
Wow.
Okay.
I was not familiar with this song, but it has instantly shot up to the top of Counting Crows chart for me.
Yeah.
I think.
That's very surprising.
It's unfortunate that they went a different direction with their sound, because if they'd stuck with that, I think I would have been a bigger fan.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, that, I mean, you would never in a blindfold test pin that one to Counting Crows. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bottom of your guesses, I would think.
That was cool.
Very, very interesting. I love little nuggets like that. That's great.
Do you get the hardcore connection at all to that?
A little bit. You mean sound-wise, or?
I don't know. Just what Hunter was saying. He said, for all intents and purposes, that's a hardcore song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, totally. To me, it sounds like, you know, a band that would be on Warped Tour, something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
It is. It has that, it's very sort of compact song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no wasted space in that song at all.
Absolutely,
yeah,
right.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. All right. Thank you for that.
No, I love stuff like that.
I'm excited about that. Angels of the Silences. Not aware of it. Okay. Now, this last episode we're going to address was when we talked about African music, and that was with Eric Lorenz. Remember that?
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we got a few different comments on that. Let me just start with a couple things here. Kirk Gallagher said the episode was so great. And he said that Indestructible Beat of Soweto album brings back memories. Thanks for the other tips that were new to me. I instantly added them on Spotify.
Ah, so, great to hear.
Nice.
Cool. And then Kevin Clement said, Kevin, I should mention, is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he said, the beat of the Modu Maktar song reminds me of Zydeco, which has a lot of African influences. He says, I'll have to give some of his music a listen. So what do you think about that? Do you connect Zydeco and African? Yeah.
You know, I didn't initially, but upon hearing that, I can definitely see where he's coming from. You know, it's got that sort of, I don't know, I would, you know, describe Zydeco in some ways as kind of crawling out of the swamps, right? It's got that French and that Bayou kind of influence together, but it still has a real raw feeling because, you know, they're using accordion. A lot of times the percussion is maybe a washboard or foot stomping or something, and you can definitely hear that and Modu Maktar. So that's really a great connection.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Now, let's go to this here from Bill Mulligan again. He said...
with a message this time.
Yes.
Right.
This time he does have a message, right? He said, I claim no expertise in the subject, but here are two albums of African pop I've encountered in my travels that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one he recommends is... I'm sharing my screen here. Is can you see this? It's this compilation.
Mm. Yeah.
Bobo Yeye.
Uh-huh.
Belle Epoque in Upper Volta.
Mm.
None of
Not
this
bad.
Really means much at all to me, but it looks like a lot of the music here, even though it's a compilation, it looks like...
It's like each artist or a performer gets...
like a whole, like a disc.
Yeah, and then later on it peppers in a couple other things.
Yeah, so what he said is, he quotes here an NPR review of this album. He said, "The bands featured in this box set were all processing the excitement, complexity, and upheaval of Upper Volta's recent independence from France. Radio was introducing new sounds, and musicians and fans were keen to fuse their local identity with international trends."
Very interesting.
So there you go. He didn't recommend a certain song, but let's just take a look here. Let's go with this one, Volta Jazz, and boy, oh boy, it's called By Camelou. Does that look reasonable pronunciation?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Sure.
Doba for you, maybe fe, ntinye iko, iko kadinye, nine mi yeo, nkumbindimi, nkono bindimi.
That is fantastic.
Wow.
Beautiful
stuff.
That
was really awesome.
I loved that. And just doing a little bit of digging here, and of course adding this album to my Spotify list. Thank you, Bill. It's a great find. I see that Upper Volta is now Burkina Faso in Africa. So that was its name, I guess, after independence.
I see.
I was very familiar with Lower Volta, not Upper Volta. No, I'm just kidding. I don't.
I know the Upper Peninsula.
Either Volta. Yeah, Upper Peninsula, I know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. That was really cool. I really like that.
I'm really awesome.
I'm going to listen to that whole record. That is awesome. Okay.
Me too.
The other one he recommends, he just says this, the second one is so funky, it feels naughty.
All right.
And it's, you can see it here on the screen. It's this compilation called African Funk Experimentals 1975 to 1978.
Nice.
By Andre Marie Tala. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear. What do you like here? Sugar Lump. How about Sugar Lump?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Sugar Lump.
Funky.
That was awesome.
Man, that swung hard, really hard. I like that a lot. That is a name I've heard a little bit. And I'll tell you where I heard that. There's a really cool site if you like African music. It's a site I visit a lot. It's called Awesome Tapes from Africa. And you can find it at awesometapes.com. Mm. And there's a ton of African music from all time periods, 70s, all the way up to current day, North Africa, West Africa, Southern Africa, like everywhere. All these sort of mixes and cassettes that have been digitized and put up there. And I would, you know, if anybody likes this kind of stuff, it's like one of those things where you just go and you see the cassette cover, you just hit something and start listening to it a little bit, and you can find some really cool stuff. And that
this
reminds
me. This is
cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. This
cool
is awesome.
Site. Yeah, it's a very, very cool site. And there's occasionally news and tour dates on and things like that on here too. So it's a cool site to check out. That totally reminds me of something that you would discover on this site. And they have a Bandcamp thing too, where you can buy stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, man, that swung hard. The bass was really percolating in there. That was really good.
I like that a lot. And it just always, it reminds me again that there's so much to discover out there. You can always find something you didn't know existed, right? It's so cool.
Absolutely. Well,
you know, it's an interesting thing, as we were talking about with the first one with like Volta Jazz. I mean, you know, the concept of people living in isolation, whatever time period that might be, you know, whether it be the 60s or the 70s, you know, before the internet sort of connected us all. And then suddenly, especially if you're living in a colonized region, you know, where suddenly the doors were thrown open and all these things you wouldn't have known about, you know, for however many years come flooding in. And then some of it, when you listen to African music, to me is like that. It's like, wow, I didn't know this music existed, you know,
yeah.
It's been out there for 20 years and it's so cool to find it. And like, it's so untouched by trend and, you know, in a lot of ways. And it's, you know, really, really cool music. That's one of the reasons I love it so much. It doesn't really feel of a certain time period. It kind of has its own existence.
Well, this is from the mid 70s. So, you know, this
is wild.
This is 45 years old, this music, right?
It's crazy.
Incredible.
So cool.
Swings as hard as Parliament, man.
Very cool. Okay, and then the last one here is a comment from Jay Ignacio.
Oh, cool.
And he's making a recommendation of a band that I swear we've played on this show before, but I'm having trouble finding it, so maybe not.
Okay.
He says here, my favorite Afrobeat fella-inspired band is Anti-Ballas.
Love those guys.
Yeah, and he said they have a new album coming this week. So this was written back in February. That album is already out now.
Mm-hmm.
Did we not play them on the show before? I thought we did.
I thought I picked them for a new music pick at one point, but I could be wrong.
I thought I did. But maybe not.
Maybe not.
Well, let's listen to one of their songs here.
All right.
And they, by the way, are an American band, right, that practices in this style.
Right, from Brooklyn.
Yes. Yaba means we are one. Children of Cain. Yeah. Wallahi. Yaba. Wallahi. Wallahi. Lalai. Lalai. Ha! I'm enough. Mother, if I succeed in America, I would buy a big, big land. And I'll act with his mother.
All right, that song is called Lie Lie, and it's by Anti-Ballas off their new album, Foo Chronicles. And I have listened to this album before on the streamings, and I love it.
Yeah.
I really love it. In fact, I love it so much that now that I'm was listening to it again right there, I'm thinking, you know, I have a birthday coming up, and I think I'm just going to gift that vinyl to myself.
Why not?
Excellent choice.
Yeah,
the horns on that were incredible.
Love
now, Jim,
it.
Are there horns that are like that on the other songs as well, or
yes.
is it just that one?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. I got to listen to the whole thing then. That sounds awesome.
Very good. It reminds me of the comment Brian Eno once made about Fela Kuti's music, which was it reminded him of like synchronized 18 wheelers blasting down the highway at like 100 miles an hour, you know, hitting their horns in sync, you know, with their head flashing their high beams. And Anti-Ballas is cool. I actually got to see them play once, and they have about I don't know, 12 to 15 members, at least when I saw them, plus like a whole row of backing singers, and it was quite a spectacle. But I like those guys because I think they do more than just pay homage to the style of Afrobeat. They actually try to build on it, and they actually try to bring in America's social issues into it as well. And they're on Daptone Records, which is pretty cool, too.
Which is the perfect place, because, I think it also has some American Soul influence as well.
Definitely. Yeah,
so they're right in there. Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who sends us correspondence and brings music to our attention. We appreciate it.
Good stuff.
All right. So, anything else, guys? Anything else you want to discuss?
Just want to say it's a good time to do a deep dive on music like African music. You know, give yourself some time now that you have a little bit of extra time to stretch out and spend some time with some of this stuff. It's just a whole nother world. And as you guys have heard me talk about it, it opened up an entirely new phase in my listening at a point where I was getting kind of burnt out on, you know, 4/4 time and pop music and guitars and stuff played in the, you know, sort of the rock style. So it's definitely a very great way to not only enhance your mind, but cleanse your palate a little bit. You know, if you've been listening to a lot of rock or hip hop or pop music, whatever, it definitely gives you a whole new perspective on the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good point, Patrick. I mean, almost all of the new music I hear is through this show, and I get to hear more of it thanks to what the listeners send, and it really just expands my horizons. And I definitely do need to listen more to more African music. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I love it.
I think we're reminded again through circumstances that this is a small world and, sometimes that brings with it certain troubles, but we should look at the value that we get from it being such a small world, which is things like this, that we get to, you know, exchange, you know, art from other places, and people all around the world are putting something great out there that they think will make the world a better place. So appreciate that. All right.
Yeah.
Very well said.
One thing I'll say too here is after we did the original African music episode with Eric, you collaborated with him on a playlist on Spotify. And so we should embed that with this episode article too. So it'll be easy to find. It's called Africa Rocks. And
nice.
And so go to the suburbspod.com and go to this episode article and we'll have that there. Right, Sam?
Yes.
Okay.
It will be embedded right at the bottom of the article.
It's really cool. It's 33 songs. It's over 3 hours of music, all different artists, and it's a great listen. So if you're not familiar with if you're not familiar with that music, this is a great place to get started, I think.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a great place to dip your toe in. It really is, and it'll give you a wide enough variety to see which ones you want to hear more from, for sure.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's get out of here.
Okay.
And of course, if anyone wants to correspond with us about any topics related to the show, find us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod, email rock@suburbspod.com, or call, leave a message. We really like it when we can hear people's voices. So the way you do that is you call 612-440-1984. There you go. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
Standby, folks. We are experiencing some technical difficulties.